What is a nightclub?
A place where the tables are reserved, but the customers ain't.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What do they call the inhabitants of Siam?
People.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant.
As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
There you go. Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here we are again with that question and answer program that knows everything but the answers. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think a locomotive boiler is used to boil locomotives. Of course, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled, I Had a Fight with a Landlord's Daughter, or I Left Her Flat. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
Yes, a poem. There once was a singer named Coate who held for 10 minutes a note. He sang shortening bread until he was dead. A raisin got stuck in his throat.
Very fat.
The poor fella choked himself.
All right. Next, we have a woman who wanted to sing with the Metropolitan. But after hearing her voice, they advised her to take out an accident policy instead. A woman so fat she hasn't seen her shoes for 30 years, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, this bread shortage is getting real serious.
I believe it is.
Yeah, it is. I went into a restaurant for lunch today, and I ordered tuna fish sandwich. The waiter said to me, what do you want on it? Cherry pie or chocolate layer cake?
I see.
Delicious combination.
Yeah, with some mayonnaise.
Tasty, yes.
Well, let's get on here. Next, we have a man who has a lot of time on his hands, but he hasn't got around to serving it yet. A man who has been bailed out more times than a leaky rowboat, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, Mr. Howard, you know where there's a house for rent?
No.
Yeah, my brother has to move.
Okay.
He lives up in the Bronx.
Why does he have to move?
Doctor's orders. He's allergic to the place.
He's allergic to the Bronx?
Yeah, ever since he lived up there, he's had bronchitis.
Bronx?
My word.
That is Kong, if I ever heard it. Well, now that you've met the experts, you still have time to leave the theater. Here's the first question for this evening. Let's see if we can get an answer.
Yes.
How many inches are there in a foot?
Mr. Howard, how big is the foot?
How big? What do you mean, how big is the foot?
Well, Mr. Howard, some feet are bigger than others, you know. Now, you take Miss McConnell's foot.
I don't want Miss McConnell's foot.
I'd love to give it to you.
All right. I'm not talking about a person's foot. I'm talking about a running foot.
You mean running feet, don't you?
I mean running foot.
But one foot can't run. You gotta have 2 feet. You mean running feet, you dumb cluck, you?
Mr. Sheldon, the next time your head rings, answer it, will you?
Well, talking about feet, I don't think I'm wearing the right kind of shoes. I seem to get a pain in my right leg when I do a little walking.
That's just old age, Miss McConnell.
Well, I don't get any pain in my left leg, and it's just as old.
I see what you mean.
You know, I got a new pair of shoes yesterday, yes, and I can hardly wear them. They've got me all crippled up. You know what I'll do? I think I'll try wearing them without the shoe trees.
Mr. McNaughton, you have the mind of a 4-year-old child.
I know. And was he glad to get rid of it? What am I saying? What?
Never mind. The question's not about shoes, it's about feet. How many inches in a foot?
You know, I took a pair of shoes up to the shoemaker to be fixed the other day. I went down to get them today, and just as I was entering the store, he was selling them to another fella.
You mean he sold them to another fellow?
No, but he had them half sold.
He had them half sold. Ain't that
terrible? For a heel?
All right. How many inches in a foot, please? Miss McConnell, do you have a ruler at home?
Well, I'll let him think he is.
You let him think he is.
But I do as I like. When I want to go out to a bridge game, I go.
Yeah, what does your old man do?
The dishes.
You know, I was at a bridge game the other night, and I won the door prize.
You did?
Yeah.
You want to sell it? Oh. I can use the door, you know.
You can use the door.
What size is it?
Never mind the size.
Is it beveled?
I'm not talking about bridge prizes.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, I picked up a pair of beautiful bridge lamps.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What did you do with them?
The cop made me put them back on the bridge again.
I...
song.
I've been practicing.
Maybe we got a new August. I like that. Let me sit down a minute. A stone got in my shoe. Don't commence your cussing. I ain't done nothing to you. Yes, I'm a blacksmith, Captain. What of it? And a good one, too. Me and my wife, and Nellie was just 16. She was the prettiest creature the valley had ever seen. One day a tall stranger, young, handsome, and tall. Oh. How did the ducks get into this thing? Down in chopsticks, that's where they started. That's terrible. Yes. All right. Here's the next question, and I want an answer. Understand?
You'll get the answer, but you'll not understand.
I can see what you mean. Here is the question. What kind of material is used in making a wool sweater?
Mr. Howard, tell me, what size is the sweater?
Ah, please, Mr. McNaughton, the size is not important.
Oh, come, Mr. Howard. It is very definitely important. If you want to buy a sweater for, we'll say, Miss McConnell here, you'd have to know her size.
I would just show the sales girl a picture of a Zeppelin, mister.
Keep it up, Mr. Howard. Now forget that I'm a lady in a minute.
Yeah, why not? Everyone else has. The question is, what kind of material is used in making a wool sweater?
I was out with a sweater girl last night, yes. Oh, rather, yes. But I always get the kind who knit them, never the kind who wear them.
I see.
I'm lucky.
Well, after all, you only get out of a sweater what you put into it.
I see what you mean.
That's a good yarn, you know.
Put it out, the pun.
Mr. Shelton is right. I never wear a sweater.
If you did, Miss McConnell, on you, it would only look warm. What kind of material... What kind of material is used to make a wool sweater, please?
Doesn't the material come from some sort of an animal, Mr. Howard?
That's right.
What kind of an animal, Mr. Howard?
Well, I'll give you a hint. What do you count at night when you can't sleep?
The money in my old man's pocket.
Worse. Oh.
Last night, I went over to his pants.
Yes.
They were lying on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I started to go through his pockets.
Yes.
Oh, was I surprised.
What'd you find in his pockets?
His hands.
His hands?
He hasn't taken off his pants yet.
Uh-huh. Does he always sleep on the floor?
No. Only when he can't reach the bed.
I see.
You know, my wife had the habit of going through my pockets, so I put mouse traps in my pockets.
Yeah, did it do any good?
Definitely. I caught 3 mice. Cute little fellas, too.
All right, please.
Well, I haven't trusted my old man since the time I found an old dollar bill in his pocket with lipstick all over it.
You found an old dollar bill in his pocket with lipstick all over it?
Yep. And right away, I knew that somebody had been kissing the old buck.
The old buck.
Clever, you know.
Lee, look, I'm going to repeat the question once more. What kind of material is used in making a wool sweater?
Oh, sweater. Oh, you know, my wife is knitting me a sweater.
Does she use pearl stitches, Mr. McNaughton?
No, you see, I won't tell her where Pearl lives.
You won't tell her.
You know, my uncle used to be very handy with the needle, but he got so nervous he had to quit the job.
Really? What business was he in?
He was a doctor.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the patience to sew.
He didn't have the patience to sew. Mr. Skeleton, why don't you stick your head in a bucket of water and see if it's leaking?
Is that what you do?
That's what... All right.
Well, I've done a lot of sewing in my time.
You've done a lot of sewing in our time, too.
You know, I'm rather handy with a needle and thread myself. Last night I sewed buttons on the tails of my shirt.
You sewed buttons on the tails of your shirt? Why?
That's the only way I can keep my socks up.
This is awful.
Tonight, Ray Porter's Esquires have a wonderful arrangement of a tune we're sure you're going to like. It's about a fellow called Pedro the Cocktail Shaker. So, let's listen.
There's a cocktail shaker named Pedro, the man is friendly amigo. From far and near, they come to hear him shaking the shaker all day. Ask any cutie and she'd know this cocktail shaker named Pedro. And after shows, they take their bows to see Mr. Pedro at play. He shakes to the rhythm of rumba. From the right to the left to the right, right to the left, from the left to the right. He shakes to the tune of La Bamba. From the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top, top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top. You should see that frog shaking right along. He shakes his rumba and makes him drunker.
There's a cocktail shaker named Pedro, Havana's friendly amigo.
Boom. From far and near they come to hear him shake all day.
Ask any cutie and she knows the cocktail shaker named Pedro.
After shows they take their boys to see Pedro play.
He shakes
to the rhythm
of rumba.
Of the rumba.
He shakes
to the rhythm
of La Bamba.
Of La Bamba. Top to the bottom to the top, top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. So if his spirits are kilo, there's just one hombre you need know. He's everybody's amigo, this cocktail shaker called Pedro.
Once Tony took his bambino to Mr. Pedro's casino.
Now Tony's wife is the queen of cocktail shaker called Pedro.
Everybody knows, everybody goes, if your spirit's low, he's the shaker to know.
That's Pedro.
How did that get in there?
Now to get back to my question. Have we got a contestant for this evening?
Yes, we have, Tom. And here he is, Mr. John Steyer.
How do you do, sir? Good evening, Mr. Steyer. It's nice to have you with us. How are you this evening, Mr. Steyer?
Well, I feel very well, thank you. I'm very happy to be on your program tonight.
Well, we're very happy to have you, Mr. Steyer. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
I'm from Syracuse, New York.
Oh, Syracuse. Good old Syracuse.
Syracuse, New York. Oh. Well, get me a mouthpiece and call me theme song.
I see.
I used to work in that town. Yeah, I was a telephone operator in a laundry.
You were a telephone operator in a laundry?
I used to wring towels.
All right. You're still all wet. Pay no attention to him. He just had his wisdom tooth pulled out. What do you happen to be doing in New York this evening, Mr. Steyer?
Well, I happen to be in New York, for your information. I'm celebrating my wedding anniversary and also my birthday.
Oh, isn't that marvelous? Congratulations to you. That is great. We're very glad to have you, and we hope you'll have many more.
Well, I'm sure enjoying myself. I can say that much.
Good.
You know, Mr. Steyer, I knew a young man by the name of Korn. He was celebrating his birthday. His name was Korn, yes, and he got married to a girl whose name was Bean.
Yeah, what was the object?
Succotash.
Now what?
I don't get it.
No, neither does anyone else. Tell me, Mr. Steyer, how did you happen to attend our broadcast this evening?
Well, I needed the money, you see. The rent is due on the 15th, and I had to...
How did you happen to attend our broadcast this evening?
Well, I've heard it so often over the air, and I was just anxious to get on the program tonight, and here I am, just my luck, and I'm glad of it.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you. Well, I hope you were not disappointed, which I'm sure you was. After looking at these experts. Well, it's better to sit in the home and listen to them and try to imagine what they look like.
Well, I'm glad I know what they look like now that I saw them.
I see. Well, we hope it won't interfere with your future mode of living, Mr. Steyer.
No, I don't think it will. I'll be very happy to look to see who I'm looking at now.
I see. Well, we should imagine, Mr. Steyer. What's that, Miss McConnell?
I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon.
You were saying yours, after you, my dear.
I see. This could go on all night.
Well, the next is on me.
I see. Okay. We're very happy to have you with us.
Mr. Howard, who's winning?
Never mind.
We sure are happy to have you with us. What's your first name, honey?
John.
John? Oh, I love that name, John.
But they call me Jack for short.
John. Oh, Johnny. Oh, he's cute, isn't he?
Yes,
oh, he is. Cute. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you short, dark, and pucky. Well, you can just call me Constellation. I'm a high flyer.
Yeah. But your landing gear is all worn out. Will you reach into Johnny's cap there, Mr. Tyler, and pick out a question for us? And when you get one, would you be kind enough to read the question, if you don't mind? Oh, you have to get glasses, so do I.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, don't I? I'm not sorry. You just take your time. I have to wear them.
What relations were they, the two girls and the picture, two sisters from Boston?
Very good. Glasses helped a lot. What relation were the two girls and the picture, two sisters from Boston? What relation?
Mr. Howard, pardon me for butting in, but where did you say they were from?
Boston.
Isn't Boston in Massachusetts?
No, it's in New England, you dumb cluck.
Well, Massachusetts is in New England, you dumb jerk.
Then where is Boston?
Where is Boston? Well, have we lost it? Let's look for it.
What? Never mind.
Well, don't look at me. I haven't got it.
Look, all I'm trying to find out is what relation are the two girls in the picture, two sisters from Boston. Would you know, Miss McConnell?
No, I've never been to Boston.
Look, you don't have to go to Boston to answer the question.
Well, I should hope not. If you think I'm going all the way to Boston just to answer your question, you're nuts.
I see. Miss McConnell, if you ever lose your mind, don't bother to look for it. You're doing better without it. The question is, what relation are the two girls in the picture, two sisters from Boston?
Mr. Howard, tell me, are they related by marriage?
By marriage.
Don't be silly. How could two sisters marry each other?
Mr. Sheldon, you're a moron.
Yeah, but I never let it go to my head, though.
I see. Mr. Cotton, do you have any close relatives?
Oh, rather. All my relatives are close.
Are you the oldest in your family, Mr. McNaughton?
No, no, my father is.
You ever meet my father? Oh, there's a guy for you. And yes, what an explorer he was. And another thing, he made some very interesting discoveries. Why, if it wasn't for one of my father's discoveries, I wouldn't be here today.
You don't say. Really, what did he discover?
My mother.
Ah, too bad your father and mother ever met, as far as I'm concerned. Now, get back to the question. It's about a picture.
You know, I was in a picture once.
Yeah, what was it called?
Lady on a Train.
Oh, really? I saw that picture, Lady on the Train. What were you in it?
She was a caboose.
That's so. Well, I'll have you know I'm a great actress. Everyone tells me I act like Ethel Barrymore.
Yeah, but you look like Lionel.
Oh, I get it. Lady on the Train. Lionel Trains.
You know, I went to the movies the other night with my girlfriend, Bessie. We sat in the balcony.
Yes.
It was a travelogue. All about China.
Oh, tell me, did you learn much about China?
Yeah, but not as much as I learned about Bessie.
Ben, will you step in here and give our good friend, Mr. Styler, $25 for his question?
$25 it is.
Okay.
And here you are, Mr. Styler. Thank you, sir, very much for coming up here. Of all the revivals that have hit Broadway during the past season, none has been more successful than The Red Mill. Tonight, Harry Salter would like to do a medley from the current success in Old New York and Moonbeams. Mr. Salter, if you please.
Mr. Roberts.
Indeed we have, Mr. Howard, and here she is, Miss Catherine Zabriskie.
Oh. Good evening, Miss Zabriskie, and thanks a lot for coming up. How are you this evening?
Oh, just fine, thanks.
Well, good, that's fine. Do you live in New York?
Well, I'm a student nurse training here in New York, but I live originally in Long Island.
In Ridgewood?
No, Long Island, Glen Cove, Long Island.
Pardon me, I didn't hear you.
Glen Cove,
Long Island. Oh, Glen Cove, Long Island. Oh, fine. Pretty good spot out there. So you're a registered nurse stationed in New York, is that it?
No, I'm a student nurse.
Oh, a student nurse. Well, you will be a nurse someday, and a good one, too, I can tell. I know if I had a relapse, you certainly would help me. I can tell by looking at it.
He's taking a turn for the nurse already.
All right.
Say, Mr. Zabriskie, have you ever been down to Coney Island? You know, I was down there last week with my girlfriend, last Sunday. She was teaching me how to swim.
Oh, really? Does she know any fancy dives?
Does she? That gal knows all the dives in Coney Island.
Mr. Sheldon, one more crack like that and you'll be back filling chewing gum machines in the subway. Just ignore them, Mr. Briskie. Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not married. Well, there's time for that, I presume.
I say, you know, Mr. Briskie, I took a girl out to Coney Island last Sunday. We went through the tunnel of love. Ah, what a place to make love. So quiet, so peaceful, so relaxing.
Did your girlfriend enjoy it?
I don't know. We didn't have seats together. So I'm going back next Sunday.
I hope they're not upsetting you. What do you work at?
What do I work
at? Oh, you told me that.
I told you.
I'm ahead of my story. Do you listen to our program at home?
Well, I think I've heard it a few times.
Oh,
yes.
A few times. We'll try and improve on that, will you?
I'll do that.
All right, you can help
hey,
us
you
out.
Know
will you? What's that? We haven't got time.
I'm in again.
I see. Well, stick your head in Sheldon's hat there.
All
would,
right.
would you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And would you kindly read the question if you don't mind?
What kind of food is served at a clam bake?
Thank you. What kind of food is served at a clam bake?
Mr. Howard, since when have we been serving food?
Mr. McNaughton, remind me to dig you up the next time I go fishing, will you please?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon, did you ever attend a clam bake?
No, this program is the nearest I've ever come to one.
I see.
You know, I've never been to a clam bake, but I was at a banquet once, a musician's banquet.
Yeah?
Yes, I'll never eat with musicians again. I never saw such a hungry bunch.
Yeah, why? What happened?
Well, they were so greedy. Would you believe it? I reached for an olive, and before I knew it, someone had eaten off my wristwatch.
They must have thought it was their lunchtime.
Oh. Lunch hour.
And then a waiter dropped a tray of food on the floor right at a woman's feet. Yeah? And she was wearing open-toed sandals with red nail polish, and one of the musicians ate off three of her toes. Before I discovered they weren't radishes.
That must have been Harry Salter, I guess.
All right, please. What kind of food is served at a clam bake? Miss McCown, do you know anything about cooking?
Who, me? Well, I won a prize for cooking. I won a barrel of flour. Of course, I've used up all the flour.
Yeah, but you're still wearing the barrel around.
You know, flour is hard to get these days. So is bread. You know, now when you order a ham sandwich, they put the bread between two slices of ham.
I see.
Do you eat in restaurants all the time?
No, only when I'm hungry.
Ah. Mr. Kellen, has anyone ever told you you were stupid?
No, but they've hinted.
Uh-huh. Miss McNaughton, does your wife cook?
Rather, she's been cooking for 20 years.
Boy, she ought to be done by now.
Why, you know, only this morning I went into the kitchen and found her frying eggs in her pajamas.
Frying eggs in her pajamas. Frying eggs in her pajamas. Oh, for goodness sake. I always use a frying pan.
I'm not interested in eggs. The question's about clams. Have any of you ever eaten any clams?
Yes, I did, Mr. Howard, but I didn't like them. No, they made me awfully sick.
Well, are you sure they were fresh when you opened them?
Well, oh, are you supposed to open them?
In here and give our charming guest $25 to add to the enjoyment this evening.
Yes, sir, Mr. Howard. Here you are, Mr. Biskey. $25.
Now, here's our baritone, who sings as though he had a mouthful of marbles, to tell you what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.